I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and I'm here today with my excellent co-host. I don't remember the order anymore. My history of Puckle is going down. I usually introduce people in the order that they've like joined the show, but I don't remember. I'm gonna take a guess, and I'm gonna go the wonderful Sublime.
I believe you are correct.
Hello, I think I am. I don't remember. And that's true. And then also we've got the man who knows pretty much everything, R Sigma.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, R Sigma joined later, but he also exists outside of time because he is omniscient.
It's getting to the point where there's just points in time where my memory is just getting to the point where like I don't remember things from like 7 years ago. I don't remember details from 7 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The biggest thing was I used to remember what classes I took every semester when I was in college. I used to remember that. And I'm at the point where I just go, I don't remember which semester I took this class. I remember taking that class. I don't remember when I took it. Because it was a complete surprise to me. I recently had to get my college transcripts for reasons.
And I
opened up my college transcripts and I was like, huh, that's when I took that. I would have been completely wrong if somebody would have asked me when I took that. And so that was a good time. I had to take like two chem labs, like chem lab 101 and chem lab 102, which was nonsense, by the way. And I took one when I was like in my sophomore year, and then I didn't take chem lab 2 until I was like at the end of my junior year.
At least you didn't have to take that at OSU.
That's true. I did not have to take it at Ohio State.
I remember after I was out of there.
Y'all throwing me off because I thought y'all were talking about Oregon State, and I'm like, that wouldn't make any sense.
No,
Scarlet and gray one, not the orange and green.
The one that went on like
or
academic.
The yellow and green.
Yeah, went on their
academic.
Colors are ugly.
Academic probation after I left them, so it's like,
yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like really weird. I taught the physics labs at OSU.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think they were okay. I mean, I don't know. I definitely dislike labs that they only have TAs do, but that's a story for another day. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast, guys, where we talk everything Pokemon. From the video game to the trading card game to, I guess, what college courses are like when they're taught. So, we've got a lot of things for you guys today, but how's everything going with you guys outside of college courses and transcripts? How about you, Sublime? How's things been going? How was your New Year's?
My New Year's was awesome. Let me tell you about my New Year's. I went to it was a lot like that place you took us to last PuckleCon where they had free arcade games.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a place that normally doesn't have free games, but they were all set to free mode for New Year's Eve. So
oh, that's
it
good.
Was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, we've got a place similar to that here in Dayton, and I really enjoy it. It's really fun in Dayton. It's a bit more like homemade. That's the word I would use to describe it. And they've just got like a huge emulator on
this
a screen.
This place was huge too.
Like, yeah, this one's tinier, but it has better video games in my opinion. Like if you're a video game like connoisseur, for the lack of a better word, because they have like the original Donkey Kong and stuff like that, and that's just like a really
cool
experience.
Really
to, like,
which is really hard.
To
I
get
played
like
that
a,
for a bit. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this is hard.
I really prefer seeing like original stuff like that. I don't know. I'm really into retro games and stuff like that as well. So it's another like side hobby of mine, like a side interest. I don't know. But I'd rather talk about Pokemon on a podcast and not talk about how much I really care about the motherboard on a Donkey Kong arcade cabinet.
Here's the thought: what if we made the 2020 game an arcade Pokemon game?
Yeah, ooh, that won't happen. No. I think that's the Pokemon Rumble series.
Isn't there a Pokken arcade game?
Yeah.
So they do have arcade cabinets, but they're like Japan exclusive.
They should bring that around.
And that I think the Pokken arcade cabinets exhibit all of the things that were wrong with like the release of Pokken Tournament.
Well, that's true of most arcade games, you know.
Because what happened is like Pokken came out on the Wii U and they wanted it to be this thing. They really wanted it to be this thing, like this third pillar of like competitive Pokemon. And they still do. They're still pushing it. It's going to be they already announced it for every international this year. And it's really weird that there's no updates for this game anyway, by the way. But there were updates in the Japanese arcade cabinets after it came out in the Wii U, and those updates never came to the Wii U. And it took us like 2 years to get all those updates in the form of Pokken Tournament Deluxe. It's just a weird release cycle for this game that I think is just kind of like putting itself in the ground, because for 2 years, Japanese players could play arcade cabinets with completely different rosters of fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows my mind. I think the only one that has been different is like Decidueye. Like Decidueye got added with Pokken Tournament Deluxe, and that was it. It's just been a mess.
Have you ever played Croagunk with the support Croagunk?
No, I have not. I own the game.
Like, Fancy Attack has all the Croagunk.
I own the game, but I do not play it very much.
I never rebought it for Switch.
Yeah,
I wanted to, and then I'm like, but will I ever play it? No.
I'm gonna play Smash Brothers more than I'm gonna play Pokken Tournament. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the problem that Pokken Tournament had, is that Smash Brothers exists.
Well, also Pokken is like a more serious fighting game.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I think that caters to a more niche crowd, personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Smash Brothers is a fighting game for all skill levels.
Yes,
because you can sit down in the room, and every single person in that room will be able to play Smash Brothers.
And
to
the
some
controls
extent.
For like something like Smash are so much easier. Pokken is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pokken's hard.
Something like Pokken is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comes across as convoluted, and it's like, yeah, we need two different styles of battle in a battle. It's like
very true.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't.
Well, how are the holidays for you, Sigma?
They've been going well. A lot of Masters now that Cynthia's in the game.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Has
that
game
one.
Turned it around yet?
I think it's better now, but I think it'll be even better in the next month when they add like customization to your characters. Yeah. Well,
I'm hearing is a bunch of stuff we should have had at release.
Oh yeah, this thing released way too early for what they wanted to do.
Well, you could definitely tell that just like in the way they did the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's kind of like some other recently released games where they're very front loaded and then they had to hurry up and finish.
Mm.
So
games that came out in the last year, you mean?
Yeah, some games that came out in the last year.
Mm. I hear you.
It's those Facebook games we're not talking about during the news segment.
Those Facebook games. Yeah, we're not talking about those Facebook games that came...
What's that farm game people used to play?
No, there's the Pokemon... There's like two Pokemon Facebook games that just dropped randomly.
Like right before
It's
Christmas.
Really confusing. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I understand because there's probably like a market for that to an extent, because Facebook still has like a crazy high number of people on it.
Older people.
For whatever reason. Yeah, because I would say a lot of people, like, because we're actually the three of us are all probably the closest in age of, like, everybody on the show.
And
I would say, like, people in our age bracket have been, like, migrating away from Facebook. Like, I have Facebook literally for, like, a D&D group and to use it as Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I have Facebook. I have it for no other reason. I do nothing else with my Facebook. That is the only reason I have it, though. It's just for some D&D groups and for Facebook Marketplace, because it is a far better Craigslist, because more older people are on Facebook Marketplace.
You know when I realized it was a problem was when my dad started using Facebook, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out, well, I mean, I don't even know where, like, our social media network is anymore, because I personally don't use much anymore.
I really don't either, but, you know, it's
I have Twitter for, like, Puckle stuff, and then I have, like, Well, Instagram, I think, is like for the people after us almost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of millennials using, like, it's somewhere between Twitter and Instagram, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think we're just like in this awkward place social media wise.
Sure.
Yeah. And we don't have it. I would say Instagram is probably more Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say Twitter is kind of there, but Twitter's like an anomaly of itself. But this isn't the place for like a social construct discussion.
Yeah, I prefer the control I have on Twitter on what I see. It's like, I don't want to see this stuff, and I don't.
That's true. They are very good about that, mm-hmm. actually.
Yeah, good, it's very easy to filter out Twitter.
Very good. Yeah, good on Twitter. So on that note, though, because we're getting too far off base. Let's re-gear to some Pokemon and head on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got quite a lot of nothing to talk about because it's just been a really, really a crazy time in Pokemon as everything's kind of slowed down for the holidays.
Holidays be holidays.
It's been 2 weeks that we haven't recorded the podcast, like, for the news, and there is still very little to talk about. I think the big news, the big quote-unquote battle spot I don't think they call it Battle Spot anymore. They call it Battle Stadium, so it still abbreviates to the same thing, so it's even more confusing. Has changed over to Series 2 for singles battles, at least. Did that change for double battles as well, Sigma?
Yeah, it's VGC rules over on double side.
And it allows for certain Gigantamax Pokemon and runs until the 31st of January. And so that'll be kind of cool, I guess. What Gigantamax are they adding? What Gigantamax are they adding? Explain.
All the ones that are common in the wild or gifts right now, like Pikachu and Eevee are mm-hmm. available. The only ones that really matter are probably Snorlax and maybe Santaconda.
Okay, that makes sense. I believe all of these things. There's also a special code that you can redeem to get 20 battle points because Series 2 started. It's K-A-M-P-F Team. Kampf?
Kampf Team.
Kampf Team. And if you put that in, you get 20 battle points. So that's pretty cool.
Buy yourself something nice.
The regional championships have also dropped more. I guess which ones are going to be streamed?
Pokemon's officially streaming them.
That's actually big news.
That's the news.
That's big. That's big, actually.
That means there's good quality.
It's usually just like the regional that's doing it
mm-hmm.
itself, like the people who are hosting the regional stream it. But if Pokemon's taking this seriously, good for them. So they are streaming the Dallas Regional on January 18th and 19th, the Collinsville, Illinois Regional on February 29th to March 1st, the Charlotte, North Carolina Regional on March 21st and 22nd, the Salt Lake City Regional, April 4th to 5th, the Albany, New York Regionals. I did not know there was one in Albany, New York, May 9th to 10th, and the Fort Wayne, Indiana Regionals, which are in May now. May 23rd to 24th. Fort Wayne's usually in, like, the winter.
Yeah.
I find that really odd. And then June 6th to 7th, you're going to have Milwaukee, Wisconsin regionals.
I want to say I've heard this is all of the North American regionals except for, like, Santa Clara because it's on the same weekend as Fort Wayne. So
yeah. I think isn't one of the – no, that was last year. I don't think any of them are just TCG only this year, are they?
I don't think so. I think that was a Colorado-only thing because of certain laws involved with video games there or something. I don't know.
I just remember that. I didn't know if it was for laws or if it was just because TCG definitely drives a bigger attendance than VGC.
I mean, that's not untrue. They were also using a different group in charge of handling that regional.
That's true.
Who used to do Magic the Gathering events. So
that makes sense. That makes more sense then. Those are just the regionals. They do have VGC and TCG. Honestly, if I were a TCG player, I'd be more hyped for regionals. VGC is fun, but it turns out like the numbers are typically pretty low, which is kind of disappointing.
Also, with the Switch, it just seems like it's going to be a mess.
Oh, man, so. I'm not looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
I wouldn't want to compete in an in-person event just because of like battery life concerns and all that stuff.
Life concerns, and not only just battery life concerns, but you also have... I don't really care about the battery life so much, and that's only because if you get like the new updated Switch... you have a battery life that's equivalent to like an OG 3DS.
Yeah, you're probably fine on a newer Switch, though. I don't know how the battery drain works.
If you have the original hardware, though, you're kind of boomed.
There are also like a few like corner case issues that come with whether you're the host or not.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. DeWabafet, he has been going into this very, very deep. You should definitely look into that if you plan on going to these events, because there are issues with moves not working if you're the host in certain scenarios. And some of them aren't super uncommon scenarios either, which is probably like, I think Sucker Punch doesn't work depending on who's the host. And like if there's like one or Pokemon left on the opponent's side of the field or something like that.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's like something that could possibly happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very worried about something like that happening and ruining the game. But it kind of reminds me of like the Skydrop issue in Gen 5.
Hopefully we get a patch coming soon or something.
I hope there's a patch coming soon. I mean, Pokemon gets patched at least like once after it comes out in like February, typically. January, February.
If Pokemon Home's coming soon, then the patch.
Yeah, especially if Home's coming out.
Yeah, that's true. So on that note, though, that's where we are with Pokemon Regionals. If you wanted a Wurmple that wears a party hat and looks very festive, now's your chance to go play Pokemon Go and hatch some 2K eggs. Not only can you get Party Hat Wurmple, though, you can also get Hardy Bat Pikachu, Party Hat Raticate, and Hardy Hat Wobbuffet in 2-star raids.
My favorite Pokemon that don't do anything.
Yep. And if you walk 50K with Adventure Sync, you get a Unova Stone. So, hey, Unova Stone. That's kind of nice.
I think you got to get up to 50K steps.
Yeah, or 50K. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So like, one part of my New Year's thing is, like, I want to make sure that I hit, like, 10K steps a day. And if you do that, you get your 50K, like, hands down.
Oh, easily.
Hands down. So I recommend for everybody's health, go try to walk your 10K steps. Be healthy. This has been a message from your local Fuckle authority telling you to go live your best life. Other than that, I don't know what else is new. I mean, January 9th, which is this week, this Friday, I believe. Thursday. Thursday, yeah. Thursday, that's when the Gigantamax rotation ends. I'm very curious to see what happens in the next rotation. Do we get a new rotation? Or do they give us like a time of like boringness and then they give us more?
I mean, I wouldn't be against them putting like Alolan forms in there instead of Gigantamax or something like that.
They should do something like that. Honestly, I really would be into that.
It's like this month is the month of Alolan Vulpix and Alolan Meowth.
Just Alolan Vulpix. Just Alolan Vulpix. All of them.
I thought you were a fan of Alolan Meowth.
I am, but like we were just discussing how everyone loves Alolan Vulpix.
Alolan Vulpix is great.
It's the best Pokemon of Gen 7. But
it is. It definitely is.
Also, yes, I would definitely take Alolan Meowth over what they gave us this time for Meowth.
Yes. Maybe I'm not a fan of Galarian Meowth, but I'm a fan of Berserker. I'll say that.
No, I don't like
either. I'm a fan of Berserker. I thought Berserker was a cool idea.
It is a fun idea. It's not a good aesthetic for me.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was an interesting take. Like, I didn't think I was going to like split evolutionary lines like this, but it has grown on me. I mean, it only happens with two Pokemon, which I find really oddly specific.
Well, it's cool what they did with it, too.
It sets precedent.
Because they switched stats around with it, is what they did.
They actually got to switch the stats around, which was nice. Well, because you don't make Persian good. I mean, you can't. I'm sorry.
Let's move that speed stat to attack.
Alolan Persian had its uses.
Yeah, with Z crystals that don't exist.
Well, had. I said had.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all of like the big stuff that's happened in the past 2 weeks. I can't say that there's been much else that's happened other than those Facebook games that got dropped randomly.
Shiny Magikarp was nice, but it's not relevant either. So
it's not relevant anymore. Nope, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. Yeah. So on that note, though, we'll take the news off air. We do want to talk about some minor Puckle news first. Well, not minor. We are hosting our Ultimate Underground Tournament of Champions, or what we call the UUTC, our annual tournament that is typically OU single battles. But because that's no longer possible on cartridge, we decided that we were going to go ahead and do Battle Spot singles because we wanted to curate a space where people could play competitively on cartridge. And so you guys can come and you can join that. I think this is probably the most inviting year that we've ever had as well, because not only on top of that are we doing Battle Spot or Battle Stadium singles. Oh my gosh, that's going to be a hard habit to break. Battle Stadium singles, but we're also going to be allowing rental teams, so you don't even need to make a team. You can literally take a picture, and you can change your team from week to week in Swiss rounds.
Yep.
Which is even more fun. So you can like figure out the meta, and you get 5 battles in for free, and you get to come and hang out with some Puckle people. I really do encourage that, just because we have so many people that really like, this is where you meet a lot of friends in Puckle, is when you battle in tournaments like this and you have to set up your battle, you get to hang out with people, get to know people in the community. So I definitely encourage you to come out and play. Even if you don't, we'll put up some rental teams as well for you guys to try out as well, if you don't know what you want to use. And also, because it's the new year and I forgot to do it in December, new Puckle surveys up. It is in the show notes. Please fill it out. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what we can do better. Tell everybody why you think Thatch is a negative Nancy. And we can go ahead and move on. It helps us improve the show, though. And I really do appreciate all of the help we can get from people who reply to that survey. On that note, though, I think we'll kick everything on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means they have to use what's in their heads to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that come from the community on our Discord server. So you too can drop trivia in there, and then our good friend P. McGee will go ahead and curate a list for me. He always gives me options, which is really nice, but I don't know that he should. Sigma and Sublime are going to be operating together as a team to answer these 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions to try in a race to 30 points to win a $20 credit to TeePublic. And today we have probably the first precedent. This hasn't happened in 2.5 years of us doing trivia on this show, or 3.5 years of doing trivia on this show. I forget when we started doing trivia. 2016 sounds right. And we've never had both co-hosts within shooting distance of hitting 30 points. I think Sublime's at 28 points and Sigma's at 26, something like that.
24, 26.
24, 26. We're going to look it up.
Within grasp.
But you're within grasp. You both are within grasp, which is probably the most the closest I've ever seen it. You were at 24, Sigma, so you do need a lot of points here today to be able to cross that finish line with Sublime.
Yeah, we need a near-perfect run.
Yeah, you need a near-perfect run. And so... yeah, that's where we'll go. There are going to be 5 questions, each of them worth 1 point apiece, except for that one time it's not. There is a question with a bonus point. They do have a lifeline that they can use as well to allow them to go ahead and get a hint on one of the questions. However, if they get all the questions correct without using the hint, they can cash the hint in for an extra point for a possible total of 7. If you guys are ready, we will just jump into these questions.
Let's do it.
Amen.
All right, question number 1 is going to be from Foxy. What is the only Pokemon that loses its gender upon evolution?
Huh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I know Azurill used to be that case before Gen 6, I believe.
I'll clarify that this Pokemon just doesn't have a gender after it evolves.
Oh, it's Shedinja, isn't it? Does that count?
I mean, is that your answer?
I'm just trying to think if there could be anything else, because that sounds like a good answer.
I feel like Shedinja's genderless. I don't know if you count Shedinja as an evolution.
I would count Shedinja as an evolution.
Then let's go with that.
I feel like it's Shedinja then.
Shedinja is correct. That is 1 for 1. Yeah, Shedinja loses its gender. It's genderless after Denkata evolves. I guess we'll put evolves in quotes.
Yeah, I don't know how you count that. It's like a husk.
You're not wrong. All right, so our next question is going to be from Lord Snorlax. As of Pokemon Sword and Shield, what is the Pokemon furthest down the national decks that is capable of evolving through an evolutionary stone?
Okay.
So the last one in the decks?
In the national decks.
Yeah.
What national decks?
I didn't realize that Sword and Shield at this moment. This is a free hint. Sword and Shield didn't add any stone-based evolutions.
I was trying to figure that out. Well, Vikavolt is a prime target then.
What else had its evolution method changed this generation?
Eeveelutions had it.
Oh, nope, those are all earlier. Okay.
Trying to think if there were anything else in Alola.
Can we count Runerigus because you go under a stone?
Even then, it's still a Yamask evolving.
Wait, Runerigus would be way late in the national decks, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's not an evolutionary stone.
It is in a way. It is to me. No, it's not. I guess Vikavolt probably is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else in the Alola decks that uses a stone evolution either. You'd think something would use an ice stone. You'd think something would use an ice stone, but I think both of those were the...
are Alolan forms of Kantonian Pokemon, so... and now Glaceon, but still. Vikavolt would be later in the decks.
Yeah, Vikavolt's the latest in the decks I can think of, because Dragon Pulse isn't a stone. Most of Alola's Pokemon are relatively straightforward in evolution, too, if I remember correctly.
I'm gonna need an answer.
It's Vikavolt.
Yeah, I'll go Vikavolt.
Vikavolt is correct. After it was retrofitted to evolve with the Thunderstone, it is now the last Pokemon of the National Dex that uses it. Yeah, I didn't realize there haven't been a lot of Pokemon that use like evolutionary stones in quite a while.
I wish there were. I wish there were a few more because...
to be fair, Gen 7 had like half the Pokedex didn't have an evolutionary line. So that does make it hard.
Gen 6 had like two...
a good amount. Like Aegislash.
Aegislash, that's true.
Heliolisk.
Yes, Gen 6 added some, but Gen 7 and Gen 8 didn't add any, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really odd.
And Gen 7 even added a stone.
The Ice Stone is really weird because until Glaceon got retrofitted with it, it was literally only for Pokemon that were like different, were regional variants, which is really odd. Mm-hmm. All right, question number 3. As always, this is a Pokedex entry, and you guys need to tell me which Pokemon this entry is for. This question is going to be from Gamerland. Its Pokemon Shield Pokedex entry reads, as a cunning yet savage disposition, it waits for its parents to leave their nest and then sneaks in to steal their eggs. Who's that Pokemon?
It sounds like Sneasel. Maybe. Doesn't Sneasel steal eggs? What else steals eggs?
Would a snake steal eggs? I'm not familiar with Silicobra's Pokedex entries, so...
yeah. I don't know all these new Pokedex entries by heart yet, or anything like that. I don't think of Silicobra as cunning, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay with Sneasel.
It's a shot in the dark.
Yeah. I'd rather use the hint for the 2-point question, so...
yeah.
Sneasel is correct.
All right, come through, Sneasel. I know my Sneasel.
You guys are doing well. Like, you guys are knocking these out of the park. Well, to be fair,
for
it is
some reason, I knew Sneasel was, like, an egg stealer for some reason. I don't know why I knew that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that.
All right, so this next question comes from P. McGee himself. What 6 Pokemon have had their in-game model or sprite include another Pokemon with a different name? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a point for each 2 that you can come up with. So these are Pokemon that in like their art or their official designs,
they have another Pokemon.
They include another Pokemon in it.
So Mantine Remoraid, for instance.
Yes, that would be one. So that's one. For every 2, you get a point. And then if you get all 6, I guess you can do whatever you want.
Could we count Slowbro's like shell that's supposed to be a shelter?
Yes.
Okay.
That's two.
So that's 1 point.
Is it the Dreepy line?
That would also count. That's 2 in of itself. so that's, you guys are at 4. You got all the points. I don't know if you want to go. I don't know if you want to go for broke.
Above and beyond. Let's see. What are the other 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. I'm just gonna cut it off, and I'm gonna tell you the other answer. Slowking, because it still has a shelter in it. You missed Slowking. You got Slowbro, but no Slowking. And Cramorant, because it can have a Pikachu and Aracuda.
Preferably the Pikachu, though. That's fun to watch.
Yep. So the next question, you guys are 5 for 4 right now. You guys are doing really well. And question number 5, this is a question, a base deck question total. This next one is from Liger. And I want to know, what bug type Pokemon has the lowest defense stat?
Oh dear, is it going to be Caterpie or is it going to be... oh wait, what about Shedinja? Shedinja, Caterpie,
let's use a
or Beetle? Yes, let us do that because...
it's a Snom, isn't it?
This is a Gen 8 Pokemon. And I think it's just bug type. I think it's just pure bug type.
Well, then it's blip bug because I think Snom is a... well, yeah, Snom I think is ice.
I'm pretty sure it's ice.
I'm pretty sure it's ice too.
Is Blipbug your final answer?
I'm pretty sure Blipbug's the only pure bug in that generation. So I guess, yeah.
Blipbug is correct. So you guys like named everything that was like just above it. So Blipbug has a base defense of like 20. Weedle and Ladybug have 30. And Snom actually has 35.
I guess it has an ice armor.
Because it's Snom. We have to mention Snom because every question has to mention Snom. And so that gives you guys 6 points, and that pushes both of you across the finish line of 30 points, which is unprecedented. It has never had multiple winners at the same time.
Listen, 2020 is the year of teamwork. You just saw it.
I guess you both can split a phone case at TeePublic. So the ladder resets. Nobody has any points now. Nobody has any points. This is the freshest the ladder has been since we started doing this trivia in quite a while. So we are going to go ahead and, if you want more of this, tune in next week for another exciting episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz. I believe it's Whimsicott and Linnea next week.
How whimsical.
So that should be good. Yeah. Yeah, how whimsical of them. So we are going to go ahead and kick things over. But yeah, have fun with your prizes, I guess.
We'll figure it out.
We'll take a short break here and we'll kick it on over to the topic. We would like to thank anybody who leaves us an iTunes review here at Puckle. So thank you to this week, 14Mudkip14. Good stuff, 5 stars. It's great. The intro was nice. Keep on doing what you're doing. So thank you for that. If you want your iTunes review or review of the podcast in general right on the show, review us wherever you listen to us, whether it be CastBox or iTunes or anywhere. We really appreciate it. And I hope to hear from you guys in the future. It helps the show grow. So we're going to kick things on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is what makes a good Pokemon NPC? Non-player character. There we go. Just in case somebody who doesn't know video game jargon was wondering. And I really just want to bring this up because I don't want to really focus on like story elements of Pokemon. Because I feel like there's a good consensus that a lot of games in the series either have a good story or a bad story. And I think that consensus is pretty much there. Like I would say that almost everybody.
Gen 5 and Gen 7.
Gen 5 and Gen 7 have like hands down great stories.
Is it a bad story or is it no story? Because a lot of the time I feel like it's no story.
Which one? This one?
Like X, Y, and Sword and Shield I don't think had a story.
I would say Sword and Shield more so than XY. Because like
yeah,
XY
at least in
like
XY
there was like a plot that there was a plot that was happening with you involved, and this one was just like, oh, Leon's playing the game for you.
Yeah, Gen 1 didn't have a story. It's like Team Rocket was doing things, but those were just events until Let's Go.
I would go on the opposite side though and say that like Gen 7 I would say had some weak NPCs. Like some of them were weak. While we would say, like, oh, it has a good story.
I feel like Gen 5 has some really strong NPCs, too.
I agree with that. I think a really good example of this is probably, like, the gym leader characters.
Yes.
I think gym leaders are, like, a really good way to just, like, create a baseline for, like, what a good versus a bad NPC is. Like, I would say the gym leaders from Gen 6 are examples of bad NPCs. Just because they are, I mean, they're forgettable. They're just one note. They're just there to do the thing.
You never see them outside their gyms, unless it's Corona.
You know, one of my favorite moments in Black and White is when Alisa is having that moment talking to Bianca's father.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, Gen 5 was fantastic.
That sticks with me, right? Like, so that's like a moment where she does something outside of the gym.
Gen 5, like every single gym leader, I think almost every single gym leader did something outside the gym, except for Silent Chili and Cress. I think outside of them, every gym leader did something outside of the gym. Because, I mean, Sharon was a rival. Mm-hmm. Lenora was, like, helped you resurrect Zekrom/Reshiram.
Yeah, she was a fossil person, too.
Yeah, so. She was a fossil person. So, like, they decided to take, like, typical other NPCs and combine them with gym leaders. Because I'm not of the mind that more NPCs is always better. I'm of the mind that NPCs, that you just need, like, a fleshed out NPC and you could create this really cool world. And I think Gen 5 really did knock it out of the park. I just really think that Gen 5 was just underappreciated at the time because, one, the 3DS was already out. I guess it wasn't out when it launched in Japan, but the 3DS was, like, on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was kind of done with the DS, and they wanted to, like, see something new. But Pokemon is a company that I don't know if people realize this because they were like, oh, man, the Switch is out. We're going to get a Pokemon game in 2017. And I don't think people realize that the Pokemon company tries to play it very safe with console releases, and they wait to see if the console's successful before they put a game on it.
It also helps that the install base for the DS was massive compared to the 3DS. So obviously
that is true.
Company, you want to develop for that.
Yep. And they also, I mean, there wasn't much like graphical improvement between Diamond and Pearl and Black and White, minus the moving sprites.
They do appear different on the overworld, though, because in Black and White,
the engine is so much better.
The engine is better in Black and White. I do agree. I think the misstep was their quote unquote soft reboot. I think that's literally the thing that killed it, was their concept of a soft reboot.
So would you say that removing all of the Pokemon up to that point from being accessible in a game is not received well? Is that what you're saying, Thatch?
Yes. But well, that's where we'll end that conversation. That's where we'll end that conversation, because we're talking about NPCs. But I think they handled the characters very well in Black and White. I mean, because the gym leaders like show up to help fight against like the Team Plasma at the end.
What the Unova region did really well when they were building it was they made the gym leaders like community leaders.
They made the world like they made the world alive, which I thought was done very, very well. And I would agree to an extent that Sword and Shield did that as well.
In a different way.
But I think they did a really good job of making, like, I remember
the gym
leaders.
They went with, the sports star angle with Sword and Shield, which was still very memorable.
And they're still, like, local town heroes, you know what I mean? They're, like, local town heroes. Every NPC's like, I know the gym leader here, and they're, like, my favorite. I don't remember the name of the town that Ramos is from.
I know there's a train. But I don't know the name of it.
I think it starts with a C. Cormorine is...
That sounds right.
Why not?
Homering.
Sure, maybe. I just remember, like, I don't think the NPCs, like, talked about him at all or got excited.
To be fair, I don't remember any town from X and Y apart from Lumiose.
I remember Lumiose, and I remember the one that Grant is from, because I remember, like, running around with my bike.
I remember what they look like. I can't tell you the names of them at all, though.
That's true. Actually, you're right. You're right.
I cannot tell you the name. Like, the fairy gym leader's town. Great design. I have no clue what it's called.
Yeah, I have no idea. I do like that we, like, yeah, I don't know. They just didn't handle things very well with character-wise. I think it was done very well, though, in Black and White. And I would agree to a lesser extent in Sword and Shield. I think the characters are fleshed out pretty well. Because, like, even Hop, like, for as much garbage as we give Hop for, like, just being How 2.0.
He's better than
deservedly.
He's a better character.
He won me over in the post-game. With his development finishing.
He like has an arc, which is something that I think is surprisingly rare in a Pokemon game, because he has the moment where he loses the bead and then he like goes through this crisis and you can see it through his team. But the problem is you've battled him 30 times, so you're tired of it. And he like changes his roster. And
repeatedly,
which was, I mean, because he's like having this crisis of like self-identity and like trying to become like a good Pokemon trainer. And I thought that was a really interesting take and a really interesting route to take a rival that we've never seen before. I do wish that we would get something. I wish that we could have had that kind of journey to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing, because like that would be the biggest quote unquote change to the Pokemon formula that I think that we would have seen in a while if we would have had a moment like that. Like you have to bring back a rival kind of like Blue, because the biggest example, because I'm prepping for a big like YouTube series with like Red and Blue Nuzlocke right now. But if you go back and you think about it, when you're talking about Blue in Pokemon Red and Blue, your rival, there's a chance where you can lose to him. Like there are places where you lose to him and the game goes on. And that an example of that is Route 22, like very early on in the game when you try to
go. Which is an encounter you can entirely miss.
You can't entirely miss that encounter, but like I think it's very powerful that you can lose to him and then go back, because right now, like in any Pokemon game after that, or any battle after that, honestly, in the Pokemon franchise, if there's like a big character battle like that, you always go back and the battle's still there for you to go and beat it. So like you can feel like, oh yeah, I did it. That battle is not repeatable.
I think it was even
one chance
in Yellow where depending on how you won or lost is depending on what.
It affects their team.
It affects his evolution.
That was cool.
That was an interesting concept. Like it was that's just like a battle that like really stands out in my mind, and I that we've never seen a repeat of, and it'd be something that they could bring back, claim that it's new, and then throw it in the game. Because they kind of did that with things like Curry, claiming that it's like a new thing, but it's just like, yeah, I saw Pokeblocks. And that's kind of how I feel about it. I think that would make a good NPC. Like, if we wanted to build a good rival, that's how you build a good rival. Mm-hmm. You take something where they actually push you and they challenge you and they force you to have that kind of story arc.
Mm-hmm.
I also miss like going into every gym and just being like, blue is here, you know, Thatch is a loser.
I feel like Gladion was probably the closest thing to that in recent memory.
Kind of, but like,
but not, he would have been the one easiest to do that with.
They could have done it, and I think it was a missed opportunity.
Like, make him a secret boss battles at certain points.
Well, I feel like Sword and Shield tried to have one of each, like, archetype of rival.
The problem is they didn't give any of them, I mean, they gave Hop, like, an improportionate amount of, like, screen time, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
compared
mm-hmm.
to the other ones, because, like, the one that I was really disappointed with was Marnie.
Was Marnie, right? Because she's, like, there twice.
You battle her like twice, and then it's just like, oh, yeah. Here's this like backstory that I have, and it's just like, cool, we've seen each other twice.
I don't care about you.
And like, it was one of those things where it's like, I mm-hmm. wish I cared about you. Yeah. I wish I cared about you.
The post game had a nice little moment with Marnie where you walk into her in a hotel room and she's trying to smile because all the people are cheering her on, and she wants to show them a smile back in return, and she doesn't know how
that's
to
true.
Do that. And it's like, oh, that's a touching scene. I wish we had like one more moment with Marnie during the game where I could care more about this.
If we had like one or two more moments with Marnie, I think we would have had a much more emotional journey with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we were almost there with Bede, I feel. Because like we got a lot of cutscenes with Bede.
Yeah.
And then
Not
a lot of battles. We had a lot of cutscenes. The number of cutscenes with Bede is far higher than the number of cutscenes with Marnie.
Yes.
It's also far more than the number of battles you've had with Bede.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
So I think we discussed how Hop also has like an arc, which we appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But perhaps it's too backloaded. And because all of the annoying stuff was front loaded, I think it's important that
I think you had to have a lot of that annoying stuff to set up the back stuff, which is unfortunate.
I don't think it had to be as annoying, but I also think we might have appreciated him more the entire time if his arc wasn't so backloaded.
If the first four battles there weren't constant cutscenes where he was praising me for understanding type matchups, I don't think I would be as upset, because like the cutscenes in the battles just added to my frustration. There's a frustration with the way they paced the game versus just Hop as a character, because the game just had so many cutscenes, like mm-hmm. so many, and I just wanted to play the game. But the problem was, it was after every single gym battle, you had some kind of cutscene. And I think that was probably the most frustrating part. And I would say, I think like half the time it was Hop. And then they had cutscenes in the battle because he'd be like, oh, good job hitting me with a super effective hit.
That should have stopped after the first time.
That should have stopped after the first battle. I absolutely agree.
I want to say Leon said the same thing during his battle or something too.
I think he did. I think
like in the champion battle.
I think he did say something like that. And I just wish that would have stopped, because I thought it was very interesting. Like we were mentioning the backloaded part where he starts like switching his team because he's having this identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the only reason I noticed so much was because I was so used to battling Hop, and I'm like, oh, I know his team at this point.
It's time to battle that Wooloo again.
And yeah, it's time to battle Wooloo. And it's just like, that's not Wooloo.
Hello, Grammarant. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? And so I thought, I think you needed the front loaded part. I think it was just the presentation of the front loaded part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really the problem, was the pacing in the front loaded. But you feel free to disagree, obviously.
I was going to say, as far as champions go, though, I didn't mind Leon compared to, say, Diantha.
I actually really liked Diantha, and I found Leon insufferable the entire time.
I think out of Gen 6, if we were to mention any like gym leader slash Elite Four member slash champion, Diantha is probably the most memorable.
And that's not saying much, though.
I mean, that's not saying much, but she had like cutscenes outside of the Elite Four.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Like, her having coffee with Lysander. It's like, eh.
That's true.
Where she talks about the merits of aging gracefully. I like that conversation.
I think Corona's higher than Diantha, but.
Oh, that's probably true. You're actually.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
You know,
she
you're,
has her thing.
Like,
you're,
she
you're
was right. actually memorable in the anime, too.
I think that's why we remember, is probably more because of the anime. She had a big long arc.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the TCG, she had a good card too.
To be fair, though, I think every champion has done very well in being described. mm-hmm. throughout the game. I mean, because like obviously the first champion is your rival, which I think is like a really big cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you obviously had character build up there. You also had interactions with Lance. Yep. In Gen 2.
Fighting Team Rocket.
And also, if you played the previous games, you also had that connection to Lance before.
True.
Which is, I mean, so you had a very good introduction to Lance. In Gen 3, I think the only instance would be if you only played Emerald.
Mm-hmm.
If you only played Emerald, you'd be like, who's this Wallace guy? But if you're playing like Ruby and Sapphire, you go, oh, Steven Stone, who I've seen like throughout my journey.
He's just coming around throughout. Yeah.
Yeah. Steven's a great NPC.
Same with Diantha. Same thing with, or not Diantha, with Cynthia.
Cynthia's the same way. Same way as Steven Stone.
And Alder, actually. Like, Alder's giving you all the stuff.
That's true.
I never battled Alder in Black and White.
You have to go and like repeat the Elite Four.
I never did the repeat. So it's like, I never battled him.
Yeah. And then Iris is the next one in Black and White 2, which I think was done
like an Emerald situation.
Not as much, in my opinion, because it's done. I mean, because like Black and White 2 are intended to be sequels. And so Iris has like a ton of character development in Black and White, because Black and White.
I'm trying to
just
remember if she shows up at all, though, and I don't think she does.
I don't think she does in Black and White 2.
I loved her battle music, at least. But
if you follow the character development that she's having in Black and White, it's really cool to be like, oh, she's the champion now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's...
Well, it depends on which game you played, a sequel game. That's true, too, because I played Black, and she's barely in it.
Yeah. Well, no, she's in the game, like, the character development's there.
But she's, like, barely, like, featured.
One game, she's the gym leader.
I think she does, like, one tutor thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's just kind of an NPC.
Well, she's an NPC, like, helping out, though, I feel. I mean, she's helping out and has more dialogue than somebody like Ramos.
I mean, that's not untrue.
That's a low bar.
It's a low bar for sure, but I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. I thought that was good. And then Gen 6, you had Diantha, who got like some overworld like moments. Gen 7, the champion is you, I guess, / Kukui.
I think Kukui was a good champion.
I thought that was like, a really good choice.
He's a good NPC, whether he's a good champion or not. He's a good NPC.
I mean, his team was well balanced. I like that.
I like that too. Yeah,
whereas Hao just kind of felt like unnecessary when you got to Ultra Sun and Moon.
Yeah, Ultra Sun and Moon, I think, took a lot of missteps. I don't know. I feel like Ultra Sun and Moon was like the version left on the cutting room floor.
Ultra Sun and Moon ruined a lot of NPCs based on Sun and Moon, though, too.
Yeah, because Sun and Moon had like a really good story. Yeah, there's a really cool arc with Lily and her mom.
And that was cut. It's like,
and that was just cut in favor of like in favor of just like a regular Pokemon game, I want to say.
Actually, now that I think about it, one thing about a lot of the Sun and Moon characters that seem well developed is like they have houses with family members.
Yes.
And sort of seem their home life. And that contributes a lot to building a character.
All of the trial leaders had that.
Exactly.
All of them had family. Yeah.
All of them had family and houses you could go in, and then you could battle them in their houses after you complete the trial.
And you can learn about like their home life sort of and what they're like.
Yeah.
And that really fleshed them out quite well.
They did really well. Like Sun and Moon had its issues, but I would say they did very well story-wise and NPC-wise.
I think it was Sun and Moon with the post-game mission where you had Mallow saying she doesn't know what she's going to do after she's not a trial leader anymore, because once you hit 20, you can't be that anymore or something like that.
That's awesome.
It's like, wow, that's some nice lore and backstory here. Well done.
Yeah, man, they did really well there. I mean, as much crap as like some people like to give Sun and Moon, I thought they did very well in that regard.
Yeah, they did well with the world building and the NPCs and
mm-hmm.
like Nanu. I still enjoy Nanu.
I love Nanu.
I think a lot of the world in Sun and Moon's done very well. The only problem I've had with I guess Sword and Shield and Sun and Moon in this regard is that the region doesn't feel as connected.
Yeah,
because like I miss the days when I could literally run in the circle around Kanto. Or run in the circle around Johto, or run in the circle around any other region, and just be able to connect every town. And I don't know if this is just like an issue with like Omori, who's directing the games now, who directed both Sun and Moon and Sword and Shield, but he seems to only like think in like islands.
He likes to segment things, which is...
He likes to segment. I mean, it almost works in Sword and Shield. I'd say it almost works in Sword and Shield.
I mean, it's just two loops, so it's like, that's fine.
It's four, actually, if you think about it, because you have the you have like Route 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
When you're there, so I would count that as like your first island, quote unquote,
because you have to take the train to get off of
because you have to take the train, and then you hop in, you could do the loop with the first three gyms, and then you hop off of that and you go, and then you take the wild area to the next segment. You could also take a train, to the next segment where you can hit up the next five gyms.
I wish we did use the trains more, but
yeah, the trains, like, you use it and then you never have to use it.
Then you never have to use it. Yeah.
Here's flight.
Then from there you go, you take the train to like whatever the Winden. Mm-hmm. And so that's your fourth island, you know? And so like so Omori seems to like to really segment things like that. And I wish we could just have like, I'm disappointed because like it made sense for Alola to be like that, but I was disappointed when I realized that's what Sword and Shield was.
Yeah, because even if you can't get there immediately, eventually you can still make the circle and say Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah, exactly.
The mountain.
Exactly.
Mount Cornet was awful, and I hope if we ever.
I just like having it all actually connected, and I don't have to fast travel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just me though. That's just me. I really want that back. Please come back. Maybe the next game. Maybe the next one. We'll get Sword and Shield, or not Sword and Shield, Diamond and Pearl remakes, and I can run around Sinnoh one more time.
Yeah, and they'll bring back HMs just for you.
I don't know that I want HMs back.
I don't think anyone wants it. I don't know how they deal with HMs in Sinnoh again.
I think you do it kind of like they did with. I want to say the way you do Let's Go.
Ride.
I think you just bring back Poker Ride into it. Yeah, to an extent. Honestly,
yeah, I think you just do Poker Ride or like just have Pokemon sitting at the rock climbing locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you handle it. You're right.
Or key items.
Yeah, or key items. I mean, that's the original way they wanted to do it anyway. So, I mean, it's not impossible to handle it in a decent way. You just need to, like, literally the only problem with HMs is I don't want my Pokemon to carry those moves all the time.
Right.
Or just make them deletable. Just make them deletable.
Yeah.
Especially in Gen 4 when you had Rock Climb and Deep Bog when it did nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is a good discussion for NPCs. I think what I want to see is just more character development. Like, honestly, do Gen 5 and Gen 8. Like some of the Gen 8.
Do a sequel again. Like
that, oh, the sequels.
That's
are good.
How you get the best.
Because sequels give you a chance to show growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like, that's why people really like the eras that have that.
That's
we
true.
Could have Professor Hop.
Like, Professor Hop would be cool. Honestly, like a really cool sequel like that would be. Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into it. Or at least like make it almost just copy paste Black and White 2. Copy paste it.
Take place a few years after, have the league be in shambles, and they're doing a Champions Cup. That's what I want for a sequel. But
ooh,
that's down the line.
That's not going to happen, but that's cool. I mean, the concept.
A couple years down the line, like in the National Dex game. Like that's how you celebrate the series, is have the Champions Cup and have champions come back and compete in the final tournament.
And you know what game had a Champions Cup?
Black, White,
Black, 2, White, 2. Mm-hmm.
I would
Pokemon
be
World Tour it.
Oh, man, a Champions. Oh, like that. Or, yep. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's I'm what I'm it. Talking about.
Yep. It's yep. Like, yep.
That's the Elite Four, is the Pokemon World Tour.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
That's how you build NPCs from those games, too.
I'm in. You've got me.
Too bad no one's coming from Kalos.
Yeah.
we'll just have Dexia and Sinnoh show up again. That's fine.
Oh, I'm into it. Oh, man. On that note, though, we are going to take a short break and yell at you about some ramen. And we will be back with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's PUCL, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 555, Darmanitan. the Blazing Pokemon or the Zencharm Pokemon. I don't know which one it is. It's got two different ones. Galarian Darmanitan is actually the Zencharm Pokemon. So that's the one we're talking about today.
You mean it's not on fire?
Yeah.
Only half the time. On days when blizzards blow through, it comes down to where people live. It stashes food in the snowball on its head, taking it home for later.
So a lot of you might be thinking, how are you talking about Galarian Darmanitan? It was just banned from OU. And you're not wrong, but today we're going to focus on a Battle Stadium singles team because we really wanted to drive that home with the UTC being that format this year. And Galarian Darmanitan is not banned there because there's no real official ban list.
Unless you're a Gigantamax.
Unless you're a Gigantamax. Yep. And Galarian Darmanitan got banned from OU, and the answer is because it got Guerrilla Tactics as its new ability. And Guerrilla Tactics is dumb. It boosts the Pokemon's attack by 50%, but it can only use one move. So the ability is just Choice Band. And so you can actually wear a Choice Band on top of this. You might as well anyway, right? You're already Choice Banded.
Choice Scarf, Choice Band, one of the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, you're already Choice Banded. You should run choice. Just a choice item anyway. So there you go. And does the ability still lock you in if you Dynamax? That's my next question.
No.
I didn't think so.
If you Dynamax, it no longer applies, but you no longer get the boost either.
That's true. So, but yeah, there we go. There's Galarian Darmanitan and why it's broken, as well as its base stats. I mean, its base stats aren't bad. They never were. So I don't think Galarian Darmanitan's base stats are actually different than regular Darmanitan. That's actually really interesting. The only thing that's different between the Zen modes, because Zen mode Galarian Darmanitan is interesting in and of itself. that's for different reasons. So Darmanitan has a base 140 attack, which is scary, with a base 95 speed. Both these things scary. Everything else is garbage. Base 105 HP isn't terrible, though. Base 55 defense is terrible. Base 55 special defense is terrible. Base 30 special attack, who cares, because you're a Darmanitan. Now, Zen mode for Galarian Darmanitan is really cool because instead of dropping its speed to 55 like it used to, it boosts it to 135 and makes its attack 160, which is just like, oh, I guess that's okay. and also, for those of you uninitiated, Galarian Darmanitan, when it goes to Zen mode, is no longer a fire psychic type Pokemon. It becomes an ice fire Pokemon, and it's got the cutest like snowman design. It's so cute. It's crazy. I mean, both those abilities are good. Which is, like, Zen mode used to be garbage. Now it's not garbage.
This is probably the second best. Actually, it might be the best Galarian Pokemon that was added. It's between this and Corsola.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, his move pool is phenomenal on top of it. Oh, my gosh. Ice type is a very good offensive typing to begin with. This is a good Ice type Pokemon. And
the secret is to make them fast and strong.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. And so, like, they did just that with Darmanitan. I mean, he's getting his Ice Punch, which is crazy, Icicle Crash, which is crazy. He still gets Flare Blitz. I mean, he's just getting all of the moves. It's just, oh, my gosh. It blows my mind how good he is. He's just so good. And so we have a team for you guys today. I'm very excited to go through this team. It's Battle Spot Singles, so you have to think about bringing only three of these Pokemon. What's really cool about Battle Spot Singles is that you can bring like two separate strategies on a single team. And the reason you would do something like this is so that you could counter different strategies that you might come up against. This meta is fairly complex, and I would say you definitely get cheesed every once in a while. But that's why we do best of three for the UTC, so you can't just get cheesed all the time. On that note, though, let me find where that tab went with that team in it. And we'll go ahead. So we have Darmanitan, Galarian, with a Choice Band, because why not? Guerrilla Tactics, level 50, 4 HP, 252 attack, 252 speed, adamant nature, because, I mean, 95 is like an awkward speed stat where you're not going to really outspeed much.
At max speed, you still outspeed max speed Togekiss.
Exactly, and that's really the big thing.
That's what you care about.
And so you're Galarian Darmanitan with excellent coverage because you have Icicle Crash, Flare Blitz, Superpower, and Earthquake. And because this is Battle Stadium Singles, you get to Dynamax just in case. Could you imagine using like Max Knuckle a couple times and then and then going, oh my gosh, that would be disgusting. That'd just be so disgusting. Like Galarian Darmanitan is almost as bad as Dracovish. it's really bad. And so because this is Battle Stadium Singles, this is probably the biggest like Battle Stadium Singles.
This is the most Battle Stadium Singles
I've ever seen. This is the most Battle Stadium Singles team I've seen in a while. Speaking of Togekiss, because Togekiss is really big in this, because it's still a Togekiss and it still does Togekiss things. This is Togekiss with the Lumberry, has Serene Grace doing Togekiss things. 116 HP, 140 special attack. I'm sure that special attack is to make some certain knockout that I'm not aware of.
You have Nasty Plot, it doesn't, you don't need that much.
Yeah. 252 speed, timid nature, so you can outspeed things. Zero attack because you don't want to get foul played. And Air Slash, Dazzling Gleam, Flamethrower, and Nasty Plot. This is a scary Togekiss because it's still going to get, it's, I mean, you can still flinch a lot with Air Slash. I hate Serene Grace. I will hate it until the day I die. But yeah, take another two of them, Sigma.
All right. So next up we have Mimikyu with the Life Orb. Disguise ability, doesn't have a choice. We have 4 HP, 252 attack EVs, and 252 speed EVs with a Jolly Nature. This is the most standard Mimikyu you will find in the Battle Stadium singles format. It has Play Rough, Shadow Claw, Shadow Sneak, and Sword Stance.
Ooh, what else we got?
All right, next up, let's go with the other ice type on the team. This is Cloyster with the Focus Sash and Skill Link ability. With its 252 attack, 4 special defense, which I don't think actually matters where that 4 goes, and max speed with the 252 in speed, Adamant Nature, Icicle Crash, Rock Blast, Ice Shard, and Shell Smash. Standard Cloyster. The only flex slot on a Cloyster is usually that Ice Shard slot, whether you want water coverage or not.
What about you, Sublime? What else you got? Why don't you take us home?
Yeah, we're going to go back to sleep because it's early here. With Snorlax, he needs his Z's, you know, with the leftovers, and he's going to run Thick Fat this time and Impish Nature. The spread is 228 HP, 28 attack, and 252 defense. We're running Yawn, Protect, so you can combine those two for fun stuff, and then Fire Punch and Body Slam.
Ooh.
Yeah, and bringing it home.
I like that he's running Fire Punch, but I think it's honestly because every team's a little bit scared of Ferrothorn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a little bit.
I mean, you need to have an answer to Ferrothorn, period.
I was going
to
say, the options on this team are, well, there are 4 fire attacks.
Yeah, there are 4 fire
You're
attacks.
You're always going to have one answer to Ferrothorn.
I also liked, because you posted the usage stats for Battle Stadium singles recently, I like that Rotom Bow is one below Ferrothorn. Like, it's literally right there. I love that Rotom Bow is just as used.
Yeah, and then finishing it up is going to be a Choice Specs Dragapult. Because who doesn't love a Dragapult, you know?
It's Dragapult.
Yeah, it's got Infiltrator. So it's going to run a modest nature and only 28 speed EVs, but like...
It's already fast. It's
fast,
a Dragapult.
When you're that fast...
It's a Dragapult.
When you're that fast. I'm sure it probably outspeeds a ton of stuff anyway. You've got 220 HP, 4 defense, 4 special defense, and then 252 attack. We're running Draco Meteor, Shadow Ball for stab, then also Fire Blast and Thunderbolt for coverage.
Oh, I love Dragapult. I love me some Dragapult.
Fun stuff. I love Dragapult.
Oh, it's so versatile.
It was definitely my MVP playing through the game, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that is the team. Galarian Darmanitan is amazing. I'm a big fan. So we can, yeah, I mean, go ahead, use this team. Is this a rental team or not? It's probably not a rental team of this, is there?
I think we can grab a rental.
If there's a rental team of this, we should totally get it. If not, we can, I'll see if I can make one up.
I got it.
And we'll post it. Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll put that on the Discord. You guys can go play with it on Battle Stadium Singles, try out Darmanitan, try out anything else. Yeah, it's a good time. I'm very excited to play with it. So on that note, let's kick it on over to the mailbag where we're going to read your input on some crazy Pokemon things. So let's kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag this week is brought to you by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Totally not a real product. Please don't think it's real. And so we're going to go ahead. This is the segment where we read your listener input on anything Pokemon-wise. You can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Typically, we have a prompt. You don't have to follow the prompt. I just want to make that clear. You can just write us an email telling us that we're cool, which several of you actually did this week. So I do appreciate that. I'm not gonna read them on the show, unfortunately, this week. But I do want to go ahead and just read some of these emails today. Last week, I forgot what our mailbag question was, honestly. I think it was, what's your favorite Pokemon designs? from Gen 8. And so I guess we'll just jump right into that then. Our first one's going to be from Enharmonia.
Yeah. Hello, Thatch and co-hosts. A deeply grieved Enharmonia is writing in. This generation had a lot of great pokes with great designs. People have been going wild over Wooloo from the very beginning, and a new star is on the rise in the form of Snom. The fossils have received plenty of praise as well, and for good reason. They are innovative and splashy.
And two of them are in, like, top usage for Battle Stadium singles. Two of them. Not just one, two.
Some people have been implying that Indeedee is not the best-looking Pokemon out of the new arrivals.
It's not. Have you seen its neck?
That actually comes up. As a matter of fact, they've been insisting that it's one of the worst. Something about its arms coming out of its neck is apparently making people uneasy. Indeedee is beautiful and precious. It's Audino's sassy sibling and should be respected and adored. If I hear one more person dunk on my little mochi ball, I will transform in a Hatterene, which is another well-designed Pokemon, I should say. Cheers, Enharmonia.
I will say I like it more than Audino.
I do like it more than Audino. I
care about it as much as I cared about Audino, which is to say not at all.
It has Psychic Surge. It's not bad.
It does get Psychic Surge, but like that doesn't mean I like it. It's such a there Pokemon.
There's no Pokemon in Gen 8 that I go, this is a bad Pokemon. No Gen 8 Pokemon.
That neck joint is not a good thing. It is a problem.
I think it's probably there on purpose to disturb you. That's probably why it's there.
But you know what? That was actually the first Pokemon I bred was Indeedee.
Really?
Just for Psychic Surge? Synchronized Natures.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Somebody doesn't like routes. Poor routes.
To be fair, like it was like a lot of the stuff that we used to use got like very limited. And it's been really sad.
The Routes family is the only thing with Trace.
Yeah, that's the thing. That kills me. I'll tell you.
Not that I can tell you any other Pokemon with Trace.
Mega Alakazam. I don't know. That's a great question. What other Pokemon have Trace?
I guess you have a trivia question for this.
I'm going to look this up right now in Sun and Moon. Okay, so the only other Pokemon that have Trace are Mega Alakazam, the Gardevoir family, and the Porygon. Porygon 2.
That's right. How could we forget Porygon 2?
That is it, though.
Because you're always running a different...
You're always running an analytic or download.
Yeah. Download is probably just better.
That's the answer. All right. This next email is from Big Cat Bruce.
All right. Hey, Puckle Crew. Big Cat Bruce here with my thoughts on my favorite new Pokemon, Toxtricity. My thoughts on its design are rooted in the full concept of this punk rocker. First, poison electric. May be deathly allergic to ground attacks.
Yes.
Not untrue. Yeah. But with great offensive coverage and 6 resistances, this new typing is great. Next is the fact that Game Freak really leaned into the idea of the loud, sound-focused punk rocker. They gave it the ability to focus on sound moves, a signature move that in Overdrive that is both stab and sound-based, access to the strongest sound move in the game with Boom Burst, and a new item in Throat Spray that could enhance its power even further. Additionally, the design is amazing. I will say, I am more partial to Amped version because the purple and yellow with the Mohawk is so cool, and with Nature Mints, I can have a timid amped Toxtricity. Also, is the way it Dynamaxes. Some Pokemon get bigger and do their cry. Not this guy. He shreds on the air guitar and gets pumped up to do some damage. Last is the fact that you get it during the game in a luxury ball. Game Freak knew they struck gold with Toxtricity, and they wanted everyone to have one. The only drawback is I wish it was a bit faster at maybe 90 plus speed instead of the middling 75. However, I'm a fan of the way they doubled down on this design and style to create a cool Pokemon. I'm interested to see what it looks like once its Gigantamax is finally released. I love the show, and I hope you're all having a great new year, Big Cat Bruce.
Well, you can see its Gigantamax now. Like the sprite's been ripped from the game. Or sprite.
The model?
The model, that's what I should say. It's been ripped from the game, and it's meh.
It's probably a March release or February.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah, the TCG release is March for the Toxtricity set. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine it'll come with that.
You're probably not wrong. You probably are not wrong whatsoever.
Yeah, I expect that in the next
one. I find it really weird because like we have like these hidden Gigantamaxes that are in there, like Snorlax, Toxtricity, and Melbetal. And like those are the only three that were hidden though. So like, mm-hmm. like they had an idea of like, hey, let's do these cool events, but then decided like, nah, we only want to do like a couple.
Surprised they didn't save like Kingler and Orbeetle for it.
Right?
Because no one uses those in game.
No. I mean, it's also not going to matter too much overall, in my opinion.
Lapras matters.
Lapras matters. That's true. But yeah, that's the emails for you guys this week. I did read a pleasant email from Matt. Yeah, earlier. I don't think it's appropriate for the show because like I feel really bad, and it's just like it'd feel very narcissistic to read it on air. But yeah, if you guys want to email the show more about what do you think makes a good NPC or who your favorite NPC was, send that into PucklePodcast@gmail.com. I'm sure people have opinions. I'm sure Enharmonia will write in and tell us how much they really care about...
I'm sure we'll get a lot of N fanboys.
That's probably true. Enharmonia will write in, and she will tell us that her favorite NPC was Ramos.
Mm-hmm. Not N.
Not N. Ramos.
N was awful.
N was the worst character ever.
It's a front.
It's a front.
Least popular in the entire fandom.
Yeah, absolutely. Least popular character in all of Pokemon, Enharmonia. Nobody's ever appreciated him. There's been zero fan art of him. I can tell you that much. There's been zero fan art. But yeah, I do really appreciate all of the emails that we do get. And I understood it was the holidays, so we didn't get a lot. If you would, please let us know your favorite NPC and what you think makes a good NPC. We really want to hear from you guys. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with Puckle, there's a couple great ways to do that. First of all is to go over to Puckle Plus. Puckle Plus is a great place to get more content. There's a new show every week. I believe this week we have, what's it called? Game Corner coming out. The week after that, we will return with Puckle Live. Puckle Live is going to be recording next week. For those of you who are patrons at the $5 tier or higher, we'll start pulling from you guys to see if we can get two or three of you to be on the show. And we'll sit around, we'll have a good conversation and just talk some Pokemon. And then if you want to go ahead and keep up with us on social media, a great way to go ahead and do that is to follow us on Twitter. That's where we're the most active. We're also on Facebook, and we're also on, what's the other one that I usually say?
Instagram.
Instagram. That's it. We're also on Instagram, so we really appreciate that. If you want to go ahead and get some video content out of us, you can go over to YouTube/PucklePodcast. We're over there. We've got some new video stuff coming out. I'm working on some new stuff actually currently. Me and Ozzy are working together on it. I'm very excited for it. I hope it's going to be good and big and awesome. You can also go over to Twitch and hang out with us. I've been doing Patreon raid nights on Thursdays over on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And I know Linian's looking to do a Nuzlocke on there very soon as
this
well.
This Thursday, if you do one, it's going to be exciting. Find out what the new things
That's
are.
True. That's true. This Thursday will be very exciting to do it. So definitely come on out to the stream. I really enjoy just doing the raid nights because I get to hang out with the patrons. I get to hang out with the people in chat. And I'm going to start doing some Battle Stadium singles. I'm not going to break that habit. Like, it's just not
it's
happening.
Hard.
It's not because it's the same abbreviation.
Let's just call it the BSS.
It's the same abbreviation. It's killing me. And then, of course, you can go ahead and help us out monetarily. We really appreciate it. It allows us to do a lot of cool things. One, you can go over to Twitch and drop a Twitch Prime subscription. We really appreciate that. Or just a regular subscription, though I think there are better ways to do that. You could also go over to TeePublic, purchase anything over there on our store. If you purchase something on our store, you get a t-shirt or something cool, a phone case, a tapestry, a throw pillow. The throw pillows are actually like legitimately like very nice. I have a couple of them. And you can go ahead and send those things over. All right, you get something out of it. We get a little bit out of it. We really appreciate that kind of support. You can also go ahead and purchase some ramen from our friends over at Vite Ramen, a great way to supplement your diet if you're looking to get to have something tasty, but at the same time have something healthy.
What a great idea for 2020.
Yeah. If your New Year's resolution is to be healthier, go on over to Vite Ramen.
Consider Vite Ramen.
Use code Puckle for 10% off. And the link is also in the description in the show notes if you really want to go ahead and do that. Finally, the last way to do it is to go over our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can get a bunch of cool rewards. One, you'll get your name on the show. Two, you can have a chance to be on the live show or join in Patreon raid nights at the $5 tier or higher. or at the $10 tier or higher, you get to be part of our Pokemon giveaways. Speaking of which, I forgot to announce it earlier in the show. I'll see how many people listen till the end of the show today. But what we are going to, the new next giveaway for this month has been announced. We are going to be giving away the Pokeball Plus Mew this month. It's going to be very exciting. You can go ahead and get a really cool Pokeball Plus Mew at the $10 tier or higher. I'm also going to be very nice because I see a lot of people talking about it. And we're going to do a limited rerun of the 6IV Ditto for people at the $5 tier and lower. So if you are looking for a 6IV Ditto, we're going to be doing that. All of these times are going to be announced on Patreon and in the Patreon Discord. So definitely keep a lookout on those places. And if you're interested in it, make sure you join Patreon at the proper tier. On that note, though, I think that's everything we usually talk about. So here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I am Trainer Thatch.
I'm Sublime.
And I'm R. Sigma.
And it's closing time. We here at Puckle would like to thank all of our patrons who help make the show possible. Thank you to everybody there. Like I said earlier in the show, I believe, if not, I'm going to say it here now, we are going to be doing two giveaways this month. One for a Pokeball Plus Mew. You can get that at the $10 tier or higher, so you have to make sure you're there. And then we're also going to run another special where we're going to rerun the 6IV Ditto, 6IV Japanese Ditto that we did last month. Just because I see a lot of people are asking for it and I want to be able to do another run. We found a ways to alleviate some of the issues we had with the last giveaway. So, please be on the lookout for that. And if you're interested in getting a 6IV Ditto, this is a great way to come and do it. So without further ado, for those of you who updated your, Patreon status, thank you, because we did change up the tiers. The $1 and $3 tier no longer exists. It's just condensed into a $2 tier. So please make sure you change that. If you're at the $1 tier and you want your name read on the show, because without it, you won't be read on the show today. But thank you to Greg, Lane, Viger, Dooley, Dominic, Rob, JT Rex, Big Chonk, the fluffiest Whimsicott, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Snickle, Rotted, Titan, Jesse, Piccolo, Ryan, Ed, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King, and Tank, Sheldon, Cordia, Claude, CR Perkins, Bodtech, Swampertata, Matt, Gary, Caleb, Jonathan, Merlander, Joshua, Zane, P. McGee, Robert, the Golden Klefki, it's your boy Trav, the British Gent, Brian, Dylan, Trevor, Sheon, TJ, Keegan, Peach, Doc Knox, Craig Krueger, Dennis, Farmer Fox, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Kelvin, Taylor, Amanda, Mike, Colt, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Michael, Tim, Equals, Dylan, Andrew, Justin, Old Man Tup, David, Harvey, Michael, Jordan, Andrew, Brock, Louise, Kevin, Nico, Hayden, Voltaire, Calvin, Jacob, Justin, Luke, Matthew, Nilib, South, Nicholas, Brandon, Locke, Holden, iStarly TV, Prime Rib, L. Feats, Jeremy, Launchpad McQuack, Gigantamax Metapod, Sammy, Graham, John, Greg, Alec, Christopher, Yegler, Mikey, Christopher, Bear, Kevin, Goncorfishin, Chris, Dark Flame, Chris, again, two Chris's in a row, Halfle Reviews, Coop de Jarnock, Jordan, Shira, Zarni, Smacky the Frog, Iron Caster, Orange, and that's it. So thank you to everybody who supports the show, and also Sparky, I apologize. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. We really appreciate it. And I hope to see you all on the flip flop. We will be doing another Patreon raid night this Thursday at 7:30 PM Eastern. So please be there and we'll hang out. We'll do some raids together and we'll have some fun. So I will catch you guys on the flip flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.